Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope? Can we give each other hope?
Everybody, and welcome to Second Chances with me, Hilaria Asumu. I'm glad you're here with me again today, and I want to start by saying this. Sometimes life does happen and plans change. My original guest for tonight had to step away at the last minute due to personal reasons, as I've been telling you since I started the show, and I want to send her all the care and understanding. I understand that, you know, sometimes you plan something and, you know, it doesn't really work out the way you expect it to. So these journeys are human and we honor that. We understand, you know, why she had to drop out. And also to preserve her, you know, her privacy. I'm not going to go much into why she's not here this evening. So at the same time, this conversation we are having tonight is one that cannot wait, because when we talk about kidney disease, we often focus on the whole body, but you know, we focus on the tests, the treatment, the machines. What we don't really talk about is the mind, the most important part of it. So tonight we're going to be talking about mental health and how it affects kidney patients, the emotional weight of diagnosis, the anxiety of treatment, the quiet fear people carry around with them, and the strength it takes to keep going. I'm joined this evening by a guest who has stepped in at the last minute. I really appreciate her doing that. Her name is Aisha Edmondson, who understands this topic deeply and can help us explore what kidney patients are feeling, often without words. So I'd like to bring her in. Hello, Aisha. We're just trying to get her on the phone now. So it is mental health. It's is a topic that we hardly ever talk about. We sort of like, you know, tend to push it to the back of the to the background, because we don't really look at it as a big issue, but it actually is. So without further ado, I want to invite our guest on, and you know, so that we start this program very quickly. So Aisha, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for taking on this task this evening, considering the fact that we have we've had you know, our guest for this evening dropping off. So hi Aisha, are you there?
Hi.
Hiya, you okay?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for inviting me on, even if it was last minute.
No, because you have to get on there. Can you hear me, Aisha?
Yep.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. So before we bring we start the conversation, I would like to go on a music break so we can get some technical things in place. So don't go away. Here is our first music by Adekunle Gold, and it's called Obimo. So if you're from Nigeria, you would understand what that song is, and you must have heard about it. So here is Obimo by Adekunle Gold, and I'll be back here in a little bit. Don't go away. Obimo by Adekunle Gold. So I'm going to start by inviting Aisha onto the live. Aisha, are you there?
Hi, Hilaria.
Hiya, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Doing very well.
Good. So so as I was saying, I was just telling the people who are on the show, who are listening to us right now, about mental health and how it affects kidney patients. And this is a topic that people usually don't talk about. And that is why we're going to be talking about it. When someone is diagnosed with kidney disease, usually the focus quickly turns to treatment plans. But emotionally, something else is happening at the same time. From your experience, what are the first emotional reactions kidney patients often experience after diagnosis?
I think from my experience, I was trying to process the information about my condition, as well as thinking whether I am going to be able to process that information and how am I going to live with it? I know that doctors and your doctor will give you a treatment pathway, but you know, it feels surreal at the time, and you've got to take a lot of information on, and mentally you are thinking that you are thinking about, is this going to affect my work? Am I going to be able to carry on with everyday life? Mine particularly, I was diagnosed with kidney disease at the age of 25 after I had my first child. During that pregnancy, it developed that I had kidney disease, but they couldn't do a biopsy till after the baby was born. Well, baby's a young man now, so I've been living with it for 27 years. Mentally,
yeah,
it fluctuates up and down, and each part of your journey you will feel different. And I can say that from experience, that when I first was diagnosed, my first thoughts were, can I go to work? And because I was only 25, you know, it's very young. I was diagnosed at stage 2B.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's quite early on. And I think mentally all I could think of is, am I going to be able to work? How is it going to impact me being a mum?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it stayed. And I was able to. You start processing that information at the same time, thinking about how it affects you as a person, yeah, and your life at that point. And that's what it was for me.
Okay. So many people describe feeling overwhelmed, even when they appear calm on the outside. I know that, you know, I had that going on. I was always anxious about going in for dialysis. And then, you know, I felt, you know, going to the hospital, I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to face? Am I going to be in pain? Am I going to be able to sleep, you know, during the dialysis? Is something going to happen whilst I'm there? And, you know, but on the outside, you know, I appeared really calm, and people couldn't see, you know, the turmoil that was going on inside me. So why do you think kidney patients often struggle silently with their mental health?
Well, I've had a career of about 36 years of retail, and that, what you just said, in the background, every time I got sick, or urine infection,
yeah,
or a kidney infection before my transplant, obviously. So all of that, every time I would feel like I needed to hide it so I could carry on with getting recovery from a urine infection or anything.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want time off work. And constantly, when I say to people, yeah, but I'm vulnerable to infections because, yeah, I've got kidney disease, they didn't have a clue. People outside the world of kidney disease do not understand the impact it takes on a person's life,
yeah,
to carry on trying to keep it balanced, and to try and to do normal activities at different stages of the disease.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it took its mental toll on me during COVID, when I was told that I needed to find a living donor. So I didn't know at that point that I was really mentally drained.
Yeah.
With all the stuff from COVID, my mum died during COVID.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got told.
Yeah. I never got to say goodbye to her in person, like many others, you know.
That's true.
And also that I needed a living donor. I needed to find a living donor. They said that was my best chance. So mentally, I literally was on survival mode.
Yeah.
Like, get as much information as I could from different sources and see what's best to campaign and stuff. So it was a difficult time for me. So, you know, fast forward 2 years and I was still you know, in decline and preparing for the next stage would be dialysis. So, it was like I said, at each stage, you are in flight or fight mode and you react differently at each time.
That's true. And there's also that fear, you know, the fear of the unknown. And you're thinking, you know, what happens next? Because sometimes you're going into the next stage without as much information as you need. Well, not that you're not getting it, but it's actually not really settling. You're not taking it in. You're not understanding because of that fear, that anxiety, fear of the future, fear of dependency, fear of being a burden to your family, to people around you.
Yeah, totally.
So how does this fear show up emotionally for patients?
For me, and I've met a lot of patients that said that they felt isolated, not being able to talk to anyone that felt the same way.
They lost
friendships, you know, because people stop asking you to join them for a coffee or going out.
Exactly.
Because they get tired of, you know, you saying, I'm actually really not feeling well. And they don't understand that. We don't want to feel that way.
No.
It's part and parcel of the condition we carry.
I agree. Yes.
I've lost friends, connections. You know, but you end up making different friends who understand your condition.
Exactly.
So you know, it's part and part, but you have to accept that your family needs to also understand how you're feeling it, and they need to understand your condition as well.
Yes.
Otherwise it affects your mental health.
It does.
As a patient, you can't go through this
alone. No.
You need support. You need support. And you either get it if you don't feel like you're getting it from your family, or you think you don't want them to be part of your mental health journey because you want to keep that separate so it doesn't spoil things with your immediate family.
That's true.
Because they've already got to deal with you. That sounds awful. But you've got to be around them and try and stay positive. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, to be fair, you have a bad day and you are not positive.
No.
And you need that support from someone else.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have to be a loved one. It's your friends in your support groups.
Yeah.
I mean, I think support groups can be good and bad. So choose carefully who's going to be positive. You need some positivity around you always. You need love around you.
Exactly.
And people that are balanced in their opinions about your journey and how you are coping with it. Because when you hear somebody saying to you, oh, but you should do this and that, and that's what happened to me, and says, yeah, but that happened to you, but not me.
That's
everyone's
true.
Journey
yep. Yep.
is absolutely unique to their own. No two people's journey will be alike. No two people in the world are alike unless they're twins. I mean, you know.
Even twins are different.
So they're genetically same, but the personalities would be completely different.
Exactly.
So that's why I say you do need the right people around you, but you quickly learn who will advocate for you.
True.
And support you.
Yeah.
And who won't. And you end up having a trust circle of just probably a handful of people.
Yeah, that's true. And so, you know, those groups you belong to, you know, your friends from outside and your friends from inside, they become totally different, you know, because you can discuss some things with your friends from, you know, your normal life, normalish life.
Yeah.
And then your friends from your group, your kidney group, they're the ones that you can open up to and tell everything that's happened. And that actually sometimes does help, because when you're trying to explain to people on the outside who are not kidney patients, even your own family, to tell them that this is how I feel, they don't usually understand, because for them, it doesn't make any sense. They don't see why you are, you know, being the way you are, or you are saying the things you say. But once you tell it to those people, you know, in your kidney circle, they immediately get it. you know, and they want to help you, they want to support you. But getting that support outside, you will get it, but it's totally different from when somebody understands where you are coming from.
Yeah, totally agree with you.
So thank you for that. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to be playing a song from Simi, Take a Chance. And I will see you back here. Don't go away. It is an interesting topic today, and it promises to be even more interesting. So stay with me. I'll see you back here in a minute. Hope you enjoyed that song from Simi, Take a Chance. So taking a chance on people, taking a chance on those who are kidney patients and going through a whole lot, especially with their mental health. So take a chance on them and give them a break, you know, cut them, you know, some slack, especially when they're talking to you and telling you about what is happening in their lives. So dialysis changes routines, independence, and sometimes how people see themselves. Aisha, how does long treatment like dialysis affect a person's sense of identity and self-worth? I know you didn't go through dialysis, but obviously you must have been talking to people and you know, you have an idea of what people go through, because we all talk to each other, don't we?
Dialysis is tough. It's tough on any individual going through it. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. And on your rest days, you're mentally and physically drained. So while you're going through this, and you let's say you're going through it for once over a year,
yeah,
and it's not a short time, and you know, you're going to have to carry on for 2 years. I mean, that's what I was preparing for before I was mentally preparing for my dialysis, having my fistula done twice, because the first one was unsuccessful.
Yeah.
So I was researching how it's going to work for me, speaking to other patients, say, how does it work? Do we get a time slot? Do you get a, yeah, you do, and da-da-da. So mentally, you're on fight or flight mode, because mm-hmm. you have to survive that. All you can think about is how you're going to get there.
Yeah.
What time slot? If the time slot doesn't suit you, you can challenge that, but you might have to wait for a time slot that suits you, and maybe the person that's going to drive you there and back. And you're always constantly worried, even when you try not to be. Your face says it all sometimes, but you will get excessively tired. You will get excessively with your mental health. You won't be thinking about, you try and dream about things that you can do in the future.
Yeah.
And the people that I know that went through it, you know, found it really, really tough. And if you choose hemo, if you choose at home dialysis, that again brings its whole toll of different sorts of problems,
yeah.
And challenges, and then you're worried about if it's going to work at home. If it doesn't, you're rushing to hospital. So it's like you're constantly on alert with dialysis.
True.
Because you know you have to have this. You know you have to have this. You're hoping it's working. You're checking your numbers, and it's nonstop. It's like dialysis is like Groundhog Day.
True.
You know, that's how I would say that my friends would describe it. It's just, back on it, and you're in that same room, and you could be in that room four times a week or three times a week, depending mm-hmm. on your own situation. Mm-hmm. And it takes a toll, not just on yourself, and you're worried about the people around you supporting you, bringing you, taking you there, bringing
yeah.
you back.
Yeah.
And it takes a toll on the whole family. Dialysis, I think that's it. That's one that gets the whole family.
Yeah.
Because they have to work out who's going to take you and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you want to stay and talk to them and say, yeah, it was okay. But you're so sleepy, you don't mm-hmm. want to talk to anybody. And you're bottling that up. And so I think that every dialysis patient should be offered psychological help.
Yeah.
To cope, to talk them through, mm-hmm. yeah, to talk mm-hmm. them through their emotions.
Yeah.
Because talking them through will help not bottle it up or carry it around for 3 or 4 years while they're being treated for dialysis,
yeah.
with the dialysis, I should say.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Because, you know, when I was doing my own dialysis, I was doing dialysis 4 times a week, 3.5 hours each time. I spent the whole day on the road. So it was going to the hospital and coming back. I didn't want to put my children through, you know, taking me to the hospital. Well, they couldn't have, because they were really young, so they couldn't drive. So I had to drive to the hospital and back. And, you know, that was the most traumatic experience, you know, that I've had. Even if, you know, people looking at me would not know that, you know, I am going through a lot. People just look at you, and they look at you with all your makeup on, and you're looking great, and they think, oh, she's doing well. Well, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way. Some patients experience anxiety or depression, but They don't feel unable to talk about it. And I think the way I helped myself was to talk a lot about my experience. I got involved in campaigning for organ donation with NHS Blood and Transplant. Unfortunately, not everybody has that chance. Not everybody is able to do what I was doing. And I think that helped me because I was talking a lot about my experience. I was telling people what I was going through in the course of my, you know, trying to raise awareness about organ donation. I had to share my story a lot. And that traumatic experience I got, you know, I had, you know, going through dialysis and all of that. I think my talking about it publicly, I was able to manage my own mental health. But I just have this, I just have a question about that. Why is mental health still so difficult to discuss within kidney care, especially in Asian and, you know, African Caribbean communities? Why do we hold back? Because one thing I notice is that a lot of people would not talk about, you know, being a kidney patient or talk about the issues they face. Why do you think that happens?
I think in cultures, Asian cultures, and other traditional cultures, do hold prayer as their first belief to get better, and to give them guidance, and so they don't dismiss it, but they don't identify with it. If that makes sense.
It does. Yes.
So they don't, like I said, they don't dismiss it, but they don't identify it. So there lies the lack of education that has shown that if you are a prayer, I personally think that if you still want to be faith, you know, follow your faith, you can still pray, but you can also talk about what's happening in your brain, because these are all chemical reactions that we have. It's how our brain is processing the information, what's happening to your body, what's, you know, why you're here. You ask yourself questions in your mind and no one's got answers for you, and that's why you should have a therapist that gets you, that gets both of you. And families, when it comes to making decisions, they personally, I don't think they can identify what your triggers are until they've dealt with it for a long time. And to identify a trigger is to be a little bit more educated around mental health. I would, same as you, put my makeup on even when I was sick and put on a smile and tell my story. But I know that when I go home, I'm knackered. I'm exhausted. You know, I'm exhausted just to do one good deed to share my story. And then I'm absolutely back and say, oh, you look great. You know, you look great. You're smiling. You look happy. Yes. As well, I'm either happy or I'm crying. So, you know, that's the choice for me today. There's a lot of education to be had.
Yeah.
In the Black community, they don't talk about it. They don't even talk about sickle cell. As well as kidney disease. That is a really crucial area, because African people are same as their DNA is so unique, just like Bengali, Pakistani and Indian, we're so different. And you've got to understand that when they're treating us, they're treating us as a whole, not as our DNA says.
An African
person's DNA will be very unique, and their match would, let's say for transplant, would be somebody from the African background. Their match is more likely to be successful in a transplant if they had the same background. As is the Asian Asian people, Indian, Asian, South Asian, you know. So it just totally depends. But I would say learn about it. If one of your friends has got, you know, said, oh my god, I've just been told I've got kidney disease, And you can support them by understanding, learning about the disease.
Exactly.
And understanding what stage they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you know that they're feeling down, you can take them out for a coffee and have a chat about it.
Exactly. Yeah, and that could help as well, and especially families, because sometimes there's some families who don't want to face the fact that their loved one is a kidney patient, because when they think about it, they break down and they sob, like really serious sobs, you know, heart-rending ones, because they can't understand how their loved one is having to go through all of that. What most people don't understand is that person who is actually the kidney patient is sort of like internalizing, you know, their grief, their sorrow and their worries. And, you know, they don't want their families to see what they're going through, because they know that their families would break down or they'll be inconsolable when they start, you know, crying or, you know, talking about what is happening with their loved one. And they, because they are sort of like keeping those, their worries and anxieties inside, it makes it worse, because there's nobody to talk to. It's not everybody who is really open about their kidney state. Even with other kidney patients, they wouldn't say. So they end up being at home, not being able to talk to their families and stuff like that. How can families, you know, what signs can families and carers look out for when a kidney patient may be struggling emotionally? I think it's really important that we address that question.
I think personally, yeah, the signs for me that I knew, I was crying a lot. I was crying a lot, and I didn't understand why I couldn't find a living donor. So I was really, really gutted.
Yeah.
And I even put it in my, I even requested my boss, ex-bosses, put it in their newsletter.
Yeah.
To see if, you know, a reputable company of, I used to work for John Lewis, and I put it in their magazine, in our in-house magazine, to say I needed a living kidney donor. This was my blood type. This is what I need.
Yeah.
And out of, 8,000 or something employees, no one stepped forward.
No, everybody's scared.
Yeah, because they're scared. And they don't have any education. They don't understand that once you have kidney disease, it doesn't go away. And a transplant is a form of treatment.
Yeah, it's not a cure.
Then the form of treatment, we need the other treatment, the mental health side treatment.
Exactly.
We need all those for support.
We do. So, you know, really, I think that, you know, families need that support, because it's something they've not faced before. And, you know, also having that talk with them, not every kidney patient is confident enough to ask their families to donate to them or go to their families and tell them that, you know, I'm having, you know, these thoughts, I'm depressed. Because when they say that, the family start to think something totally different, especially in African families. There's the wailing and the sobbing, and, you know, how can you say that
I would say that's the same for Asian families, because our cultures are very, very similar. We're all family orientated.
Exactly.
But so are so many other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
We are family orientated, but you have to understand that in cultures like that, grief or a disease like kidney disease will be dealt with as a family, not on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So the patient that is crumbling inside and is too scared to say anything is because, it might be because that they know that their family doesn't understand mental health, or that they, that, you know, I need therapy. They need to stick up for themselves and tell the consultant, I want to talk to a therapist.
Yeah.
You take it with both hands, and it doesn't matter how many times you need to have a therapist. It could be 1 year, and your sessions could be done for six, you know, I don't know how many sessions you get from the NHS or in other countries.
Yeah.
You could be allocated a certain slot of sessions. Take them. take them and make the most of them. Get everything off your chest because it's all private. It's all private.
Yeah.
And it helps you walk away knowing you've unburdened yourself with mm-hmm. all off your worries.
Yeah.
And then maybe, and just maybe if you're lucky, you might go on to have a little bit better day without that angst in your chest.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and how you feel and less crying. And it just helps you because when you're crying and you're upset, your body is actually stressed.
True.
Your body then manifests the stress in your body. And what we don't want with kidney disease is people being in more pain from the mental stress.
Yeah.
As well as the physical stress.
Yeah. That's true. So let's take a break now. Before we move to the next topic, which is coping, support and healing, I want to play Tennis Case. So anybody who is from Nigeria would love the song. It actually just fits in with what we've just been talking about, you know, taking, supporting other people and, you know, helping them move through this journey, especially with their mental health. We'll be back here in a little bit. I'll see you.
Jason, I slap police for your case. I go to war for your case. Go to court for your case. I climb a bridge for your case. Enter water for your case. I punch a judge for your case. Anything you want, baby. That's for you, baby.
Case, I absolutely love that song because for people who don't understand Pidgin English, she was saying that she would go to any length. Well, she called different situations, but basically what she's saying is she'll go to any length to protect somebody. Somebody, maybe her love, maybe a brother or a sister. That is why we have to love each other. It doesn't matter where you're from. You should be ready to take up arms and protect or support somebody you love. It doesn't have to be love. It could be somebody you care about. It could be a member of your family, especially somebody who is a kidney patient who needs that support. Because believe me, we kidney patients, we need that support. And that is why you find that we lean heavily on those who are by us, who are trying to support us. But it would be good if that support is spread across the family. So going to our next topic for the evening, which is about coping, support and healing. Living with kidney disease requires a lot of strength, but that strength does not mean you have to cope alone. Coping alone is not the answer. You need to lean on other people. Just like Tenny was just saying, she would slap, you know, an agbero. If you know what an agbero is, that's one of those touts in the market. You know, she would slap a judge for her loves of, you know, brother or sister's case, you know, on any issue whatsoever. What she's professing that she is ready to go the extra length to support that person that she loves. And you, as a member of, you know, the family of a kidney patient, can do the same, especially when it comes to mental health. Don't allow them to cope alone. Even if they look, you know, strong and they look as if they're doing well, it's not always that way. You never see them in their quiet moments when they break down and they cry. Aisha, I'm sure you can relate with this, you know, in terms of showing that you are strong,
totally.
You know, totally. You're strong on the outside, but on the inside, you're screaming for help because you don't want people around you to suffer, or you don't want them to feel, you know, bad that you are the way you are feeling the way you are. You try to put on a happy face. What healthy coping strategies do you think can help kidney patients protect their mental health well-being?
Well, I've tried a few. Obviously, the talking therapies through GPs are brilliant. That's what I'm. I've had that also.
Yeah.
I have had coping mechanisms as the breathing exercises, mm-hmm. like you're meditating,
yeah.
and the tapping. And so you breathe in and out, and they're not specifically under NHS therapies,
yeah.
but if you get an app like Calm or Insight, you can do the breathing exercises, mm-hmm. when you're overwhelmed and,
yeah.
you just want to shut yourself away from the world,
yeah.
and just catch your breath, and the breathing exercising really, really helps. And listening directly to what I would call not white noise, but
yeah.
any background noise you like, whether it's the sound of the waves in the sea,
yeah.
or bird chirping sound. Those I found quite useful.
Okay.
And what else did I find? I'm actually at the moment,
yeah.
doing EMDR.
What's that?
EMDR? It's eye movement therapy.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yeah, and that has been eye-opening.
Okay.
Literally. And because it helps you to bring up other things that might have overlapped in your journey. And things you may have bottled for years and not thought of it because you're trying to cope with this,
yeah.
you know, number one here,
yeah.
your little kidneys,
yeah.
But your body's actually reacting to stress that's been set off by the stress of the kidney,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you need to bring them out and to align yourself, and that's one of the things. But anyone can refer themselves here in England,
yeah.
to your doctor and be referred to a therapist, okay. psychologist team.
Okay.
Anyone in the renal team will refer anybody who is a kidney patient,
yeah.
to a psychologist. There will be a waiting list,
yeah.
but you have to be patient and you will get there. I've been on several waiting lists,
yeah.
and I still, when I finish with one treatment,
mm-hmm.
I'll go back on it for, you know, let other people have a chance, and then I have had bad times where I've had to go back on it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
you know, you don't. It's not for life,
yeah.
but it's there
just for,
when
just
you need
for a little,
it.
Just for a little time.
There.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you've also got access to the Samaritans. You can ring up. You've got Mind Charity phone,
yeah.
numbers, and UK Kidney Care, mm-hmm. which is all obviously in the UK.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are similar companies out there that in Nigeria that offer the same service for free.
No, definitely not in Nigeria. Nope. No, definitely not in Nigeria. No. Yeah, thank you for that. So for someone listening tonight,
Hopefully somebody
Well, yes, maybe organizations, yes, but individual, you know, from the hospital, from the doctors, no. Maybe here in the UK, but definitely not in Nigeria, as far as I know. So for someone listening tonight who feels emotionally exhausted or low, what would you want them to hear right now?
Oh God, this is real cheesy. You're not alone. You can have access to the people and care that you need.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to be brave enough to advocate for yourself and make the first step.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. I hope you've heard that. And before we go to before we conclude for tonight, we just want to take one more music. And I'm looking at Thames with Free Mind. So free your mind and enjoy this and reflect a little bit. And when we come back, we'll have a little bit more before we close. I'll see you soon. That was Thames with Free Mind. So for anybody who is a kidney patient and has had all these anxieties and worries, and their mental health has been affected by their journey as kidney patients, as you heard Aisha said earlier on, there are loads of organizations to reach out to. We also, our charity, WSHBME Kidney Network, we also provide a listening ear. We have peers or buddies who would support you and listen to you rant if you just want to rant. So don't feel as if you're alone. Reach out not just to us, WSHBME Kidney Network, but also to Mind. There's also Aisha, you said another charity. What was it again? There was Mind.
You've got Mind, you've got Samaritans if you want to rant.
Yeah.
They're not specialists, but they are they will listen to you.
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got Kidney Care UK.
Yeah.
And you've got Mind. Yeah, and you've also got Kidney Research if you wanted to reach out.
Yeah. Oh yes, that's true. And they're ambassadors in those organizations as well. So reach out to them, and just if you just want to talk, just talk. They will listen because they understand where you're coming from. So we've come to the end of today. I didn't want this to end, but we have only an hour to do this. I just want to say a big thank you to Aisha for coming on at last minute and helping us, you know, for this hour after our
You're
guest.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Tonight's conversation reminds us of something important. Kidney disease does not only affect the body. It affects the mind, the heart, and the way people move through the world. If you're living with kidney disease and struggling emotionally, please know this. You are not weak. You are only responding to something difficult, and support does matter. We will continue to make space for these conversations because healing is not only medical, it is emotional, social and human. I've enjoyed, you know, discussing this topic today. It was something that, you know, was right there, the topics I wanted to discuss. But I thought that, you know, talking about dialysis moving through very quickly would help. But I think it's really, really important for us to touch on mental health, because that actually, all through the kidney journey, is ever present. And I'm so grateful that Aisha was able to give us her time to talk to us and answer the questions, you know, the pressing questions that we have about mental health. And Aisha, do you want to talk a bit about what you do as well? Just 1 minute.
Which part?
Well, the beauty part, you know.
Oh, right. Okay. So, what I found from the drugs that I take for anti-rejection drugs, I'm a transplant patient now, I found that when you have kidney disease, that your skin changes, and it's not something that anybody warns you about. For those of us that have dark skin, I have tan skin, I found I got patches on my skin.
Yeah.
And when I was in decline, I was very itchy. And these were all signs of just your disease manifesting in your skin. So the skin is the largest organ. So I knew I couldn't do anything I couldn't do anything much to make a difference until I had my transplant. So I let my transplant settle. It was in 2023, 9th of April. And then the new drugs that I started taking affected my skin even more. I lost my hair month 4 to 6. They never warned me about it, and then I learned how to cope with that, getting a wig and cutting my hair shorter, letting it grow back.
Yeah.
And
so what's your business?
Oh, right. No, I don't have a business, but what I do like talking about is for everybody, all kidney disease patients, look after your skin as well. And if you are a girly girl like me and you have kidney disease, just you know, you can go to my profile and you can ask me a question on Instagram, Aisha786 New Skin, NU Skin. And you can ask me a question, what I use on my skin. I've started a better regime to look after my skin, because mentally, again, it makes me feel better.
Okay.
Having a little routine.
Okay.
And I think that's really important for women. Yeah. And men, and especially when you lost your hair and you're going through changes, physical changes. Yeah. In your skin.
Okay. Thank you.
That's why I like to talk about skin.
Okay.
Changes.
So you've heard
what we can do.
Yeah. So you heard that here. So reach out to Aisha on Instagram. And if you check for her, just type in Aisha. So that's A-Y-E-S-H-A. Type that into Instagram to bring her up. So Aisha 786. Aisha 786 on Instagram.
786 underscore. Then NU, then skin.
Okay.
Lowercase.
New Skin. Okay. So yeah. I will put that in the chats later so that anybody who's interested can reach out to her on Instagram. Thank you very much for staying with me tonight on Second Chances. And take care of yourselves and good night. I'll see you next week with our transplant patient. See you soon.
Victim of my pride, I made a vow, you never catch me falling. Oh, what a life, you caught me by surprise. Now I dream of you, and my heart is troubled. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Fell on my face. Look what you made me do. You made me know.
Love at first sight, is it in my head? that's in my bed. I didn't want to, but I found my purse in your. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do.